I'm Pastor Dwayne Stein. For those of you who don't know who I am, one of the pastors here on staff. Our lead pastor is on vacation today, which means we get to talk about him a lot while he's gone, which is awesome. Now, I'm not going to talk about him. I will talk about him a little bit later, but not right now. Instead, what I really want to talk to you about today is aliens. Yeah, you heard me. I actually want to talk about aliens. Okay, now I realize that just by even saying that, I probably, half of you are tuning me out right now. Half of you are all excited because you think that's a really cool topic maybe. But it's kind of a polarizing topic, I understand. We talk about aliens. Some people really love it. Some people are like, don't know. But I just want you to hang in there for a little bit, okay? You'll see where it all fits in, but hang in there while we get into our topic for today. So when I mentioned the word alien, I have a feeling that some picture comes to your mind. Now, maybe that's a picture from like an old comic book, or maybe it's an image from an episode of Star Trek. Just wanted to see if there's any Trekkies out there. Maybe it's from the sci-fi movie franchise, The Alien. Maybe it's from that. Maybe you have something in your mind. I'm not sure. I have a picture in my mind, and I'm going to give you a glimpse into the picture in my mind, okay? Are you ready? I'm actually going to have a picture put on the screen for you to see. This is what comes to my mind when I think of the word alien. Okay, the kids have already left the room, right, so we're good. All right, you ready? So this is the picture that comes to mind. Dan, let's have it. Okay, who is this? Marvin the Martian, yes. Marvin the Martian. This is the thing I think of when I think of aliens. Okay, so I've watched maybe, I don't know, two or three episodes of Star Trek growing up. Again, sorry, Trekkies, you can tune out now probably. Sorry about that. The alien movie thing I've talked about, I've never seen any of that. I have no idea. But I did watch a lot of Looney Tunes growing up, okay? So that explains a lot of my character, I'm sure. What we could probably all agree on, though, is there's lots of conceptual ideas about what an alien might be or what an alien might look like. Something that's outside of this world and what that might look like to us. So I was thinking, I had a couple of lists of characteristics of an alien. What would the characteristics of an alien be? You can think through these things with me, but I made a list. So here we go. First of all, an alien probably looks different. Okay, they look different than us. It's okay. They speak differently. Here's a test. If I say, Nanu, Nanu. Who's with me? Who is that? Mork. Mork and Mindy. TV show from back in the late 1970s. I feel like it's weird just to say that. That's crazy. But man, I grew up with that. Aliens act differently than we do. Their home is somewhere else from here. Their purpose or their motivation does not align with our motivation. You know, they are seen to be strangers or out of place to us. They answer to a different authority than we do. And they also long for home. E.T.? Phone home. E.T. phone home. Okay, there we go. That's your alien references. Okay, here we go. So you get the idea of what it's like to be an alien. Well, why would I bring that up this morning? Why would I be saying we want to talk about aliens? Because that's actually in our passage that we're going to be reviewing today. It's actually what Peter calls us as believers. He calls us aliens. So most of you know, there's a lot of new people here today, which is really awesome. Cool for the baby dedication. And there's other new ones here, so thanks for coming in today. But if you're not familiar, we've been going through a series in 1 Peter, walking through the book, verse by verse by verse. Today we're in two verses in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. That's where we're going to head out or look into. So if you want to go ahead and turn to that in your Bible or on your device, You know, we do this lots of times, and I brought my Bible with me today, but I'm actually going to use my device today. All right? So I don't know what Bible app you might use. I use YouVersion. So, and I'm reading out of the NIV translation, okay? So I'm just going to read that off my app today. Here's the two verses for today. Verse 11 and 12, 1 Peter chapter 2. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Okay, there we go. And then you're questioning, I didn't hear alien in there anywhere, right? Well, this is the latest version of the NIV that we're reading from here. And if I would go back to my old 1984 version of the NIV, which actually is my preferred version, you would see that in there where it says foreigners and exiles, in the 1984 version it says aliens and strangers. It says aliens and strangers. Other translations use different words for the same kind of meaning, but like the ESV uses sojourner and exiles. The Living Bible uses visitor. King James Version uses strangers and pilgrims. Okay, so you can kind of get the idea. We're not talking about aliens from outer space today. We're talking about people who are sojourners or exiles or visitors. So before we get into that, we're going to talk more about this idea of being an alien. But before we get into that, I want to back up a little bit just to bring us back into the context of our series and then move us forward. Okay, so just backing up. So Peter wrote this book. Peter wrote this book through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he writes it to the persecuted and scattered Christians. And he starts off this book, as we've been going through, a lot of theology, a lot of really cool stuff in the beginning parts of this book, helping people and helping the Christians that need encouragement. He's helping them to understand, again, who they are and how they get grounded in who Christ is and who we are as believers and what Christ has done for us. And how should we live in this midst of all that? Well, at this point right here in the letter, we see a shift. We see a shift to even get more practical, more instruction on how to live. So based on who we are and whose we are, how then should we live? This is what Peter's getting into even more and more. And especially, how do we live when times are difficult? So, as a reminder, this is what we're going through, just to help you get caught up, okay? So Peter starts out in verse 11 I just read, talking and addressing these fellow Christians as dear friends. Dear friends, or another translation might use beloved. This is his heart pouring out this deep sense of caring for his brothers and sisters in Christ. And it seems like it might even be a little easier to catch that. I want to back up just a little bit. I want to back up into last week's message, where we started at verse 9 last week. And I want to read through that again, because I want to read through 9 and 10 and into 11 today, so you kind of get this feel of how Peter is writing and pushing and sending out this information to us. To the Christians of the days as well as to us. So let me start by reading verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into the wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in this world, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. I hope you catch that passion, that intention that Peter is conveying, and that also that God is conveying to you through Peter. You are loved. You are loved by the Father. The Father calls you beloved. Let that sink in just a little bit. The Father calls you beloved. And from that heart of love, Peter addresses us as aliens, as strangers, as visitors, as foreigners, as exiles, as pilgrims. And why does he use that kind of a term for us? Because we no longer belong to this world. As a believer, we are part of another nation, a holy nation. We have a new residence. Our home is not here. We are sons and daughters of the King. We're simply passing through this world now on to our heavenly home. So I want you to catch the first big point of today. And since our lead pastor loves to refer to his favorite college football team over and over again, I thought I would use a little Penn State lingo to help us. Yeah, right. I'll use a little Penn State lingo to help us with our points today. Okay. So here's our first main point of today. We are aliens. Okay? We are aliens. So I want to go back to that list of characteristics about an alien that I was talking about earlier. Okay, I want to see how that aligns with this idea of being believers in Christ, but living in the world we live in. A good guide for that, to help us understand that, might be the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5. Remember, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So I want to go back to that same list. And I started out by saying that aliens look different. And we as Christians in this world should look different. Our countenance should be different. We should have a countenance of love, a countenance of joy, a countenance of peace. It should look different than what the world has. We should look different. We should speak differently. Our language, our tone, our inflection. It should be loving. It should be kind. Colossians 4:6 says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. We should act differently. Our mannerisms, our culture that we have, should exhibit kindness and goodness and self-control. Our home is somewhere other than here. This isn't our permanent address. This is not where our citizenship is. We should not be trying to build our kingdom here on earth, but should be building towards the heavenly kingdom. Our purpose or our motivation should not align with this world's, but with God's will and God's purpose. We will seem strange. I've been told that a lot. Probably not for this reason, but we should seem strange and out of place in this world as we live in the world, but not of the world. We answer to a different authority. Our authority is God, not ourselves, not other men. Our authority is God. And we too long for home. That time we get to spend eternity with Jesus. Well, since our value systems and our culture don't align with this self-seeking, pleasure-pursuing, looking out for number one system of the world that we're in, we must expect that that tension is going to arise. Tension within us and tension around us. Peter emphatically warns us about this with his instruction to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. So that brings us to our next major point of the day, and that is, we are at war. We are at war. Peter, in this loving way, pleads with us, with the Christians that die, but also to us, to listen and obey. Not just hear and ignore, but actually, he says, I urge you, please listen. Please take this to heart. There's a war going on for your soul. Whether you want to acknowledge that or not, it's happening. And you as a believer are a soldier in that war. You may choose to ignore it. You may choose to hide from it. You may choose to cower back from it or not fight in that battle, but that just leads to defeat. The better plan is to be prepared and to be ready to fight as necessary. So allow me to list a few ways that we can prepare and be ready for those battles that are coming our way. The first one is to know your enemy. Know your enemy. It may be helpful to identify some of those sinful desires that Peter's talking about. It's easy to, there's a short list that we can look at in Galatians chapter 5. It's found in 5:19-21, but I'm going to start reading. I want to read a little bit about, starting in verse 16, to get you a sense of this war that we're in. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Did you catch that? Did you hear that in those verses? There's this constant conflict going on between the flesh and the Spirit, and that happens within each of us. Those verses go on to actually list what some of these, that list I was talking about, this list of some of these problems in our world. It says in verse 19, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's just a partial list. We could go on and look at 1 John chapter 2, where it gives even a broader description, where it just makes it very simple for us, where it says, everything in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, these are the things that are against God. They're the world's desires. So Peter is warning us to abstain from those sinful desires. So abstain from anything that is contrary to God. And what does that look like? To abstain, it means to avoid or to keep away from. Literally means to deliberately restrain yourself from this. Not just occasionally, but continuously, to always be restraining yourself from that. This is mainly a defensive posture we see here, as we need to be on alert, because it says that the enemy is coming after us. It says these sinful desires are waging war against us. Okay, so they're coming after us. They are on the attack. This idea of this stuff coming towards us. To be clear, Satan has declared war on your soul. It's not simply this one battle, and we win that, we're done. It's a battle over the lifetime of our journey as a Christian. It's going to keep coming up. It's fought day by day. It's fought moment by moment. So, next thing, you know your enemy. Next thing is to know your weak points. Know your weak points. Know where you are vulnerable. This will look different for each one of us. We come to Christ with our own set of cultural ideals, our own personal history, our own individual hurts, our own individual scars. And sometimes we find ourselves taking our marching orders from what we know more so than what is true. And as we do that, and we start to look at what we knew, what we thought was right, or whatever it might be, and we start to compare that to the teachings of God and the truths that are found in Scripture, we again find we're in tension. We find there's conflict in our souls. And this doesn't just happen when we first come to Christ. It does happen then. But that's not the only time it happens. This will happen all through our journey in life. The more we grow and the more we mature in our Christian walk, the Holy Spirit will bring to the surface these things that are contrary to his nature. They're not in alignment with him. And we'll have to face that. And hopefully that takes us to a time of surrender, a time of growth. There may be times when we don't fully understand what's happening. We don't understand where this is all coming from, maybe, and we maybe need to cry out like David did when he said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." Work through that with God. We may also need to seek out some assistance, some good trusted Christian friends that can help you walk through and find healing and freedom as you need. But keep in mind that Christ is our healer. He also desires that we would experience transformation in our lives as we walk through this journey with him. Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 2 is one of my favorite verses where it talks about not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. This idea of becoming more and more like Christ, being transformed into his image. But I want you to be aware that just like any good opponent will try to figure out where your most vulnerable spots are, that's where Satan loves to attack, in your most vulnerable areas. We need to know that. We need to know where those spots are. He likes to try to find those spots. He likes to blind us to the truth of God or twist it like he did for Eve, twist the truth so that we don't see Christ the way Christ really is, and he's trying to make it so we don't see him the way he really is. We got to be on guard. We can't let our guard down. Well, that leads us to the next way we can be ready for battle, and that is to know your gear. To know your gear and train with it. To be well prepared for battle, we need to know, become familiar with our armor and with our weapons. We need to take time to actually use them and use them regularly so we can actually get better with them. Ephesians chapter 6 is where we read about the armor of God. And again, I want to start a little bit before the armor part because I want you to hear about this war that we are in. So I'm going to start at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Okay, we can just stop right there. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I'm talking a lot about things we need to do, actions we need to take, preparations we need to be ready for. But where's our real source of strength come from? It comes from the Lord. He's the source of our power. So be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. But then there's some practical things we need to keep doing. It says, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. For your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's where our battle takes place. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day comes, and that day will come, so that when the day comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm with a belt of truth around your waist. A belt of truth around your waist. If we're going to stand and be able to stand firm against the devil, we need to know what is true. We need to be able to stand on truth. We cannot, anything besides that, any lie that we're standing on, any false thing that we're standing on is shaky ground. For us to be able to stand firm and fight well, we need to stand on truth. We need to have that belt of truth wrapped up. We need to know what truth is. Goes on to say, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Our righteousness. Our rightness with God. Our rightness with God comes from what Jesus did for us. As we talked about earlier, as James was talking about when we went through our time of communion, what Christ did for us on the cross. He took on our sin. Did you catch how personal he made that? I love that. He took that on for us and gave us his righteousness. Oh, Satan will try to attack. He'll try to attack us in anything that we've done wrong. He'll try to bring that up and he'll use that as a point to try to get into you. That's called condemnation. That's what Satan does. But the breastplate of righteousness is our protection. And with our feet fitted for the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, we need to always be on the lookout. We need to be ready. But we can do so with the peace of God. God provides a peace as we understand the gospel. We understand what Christ has done for us. There is peace that comes through that. We can stand at peace, but be ready. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Your faith brings us back to Jesus, brings us back to everything Jesus has done, brings us back to his power in our lives. Take on the helmet of salvation. Christ's redeeming work for you. Who you are in Christ. Your position in God. Put on that helmet of salvation. And then take the sword of the Spirit, our weapon, which is the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. We need to know how to use the Word of God. Jesus gave us great examples of that when Satan tempted him in the desert. He used the Word of God as his weapon. So we need to know our gear. We need to put it on. We need to put our armor on. Maybe it's something you need to go through every morning. Every morning you need to get up and put that belt of truth around your waist. And you need to put on that breastplate of righteousness and that helmet of salvation. You need to pick up your sword and your shield. Maybe you need to walk through that in your mind every morning. Well, our next step is we need to know our company of soldiers. We need to know our company of soldiers. When soldiers go into battle, they know who has their back. They know who they can count on. They've trained together. They know each other's strengths and weaknesses. Some of them are even trained specially for those specific things that might come up in battle. And yet they all work together to fight for the victory of everyone. In our Christian walk, we need the same thing. It's called community. We need community. Life in community is where true transformation takes place. We need people around us that we can trust. People that we can be real with. People who will walk through those hard times with us and people who will rejoice with us in the good times. People who will speak truth into our lives and hold us accountable. People who will fight with us and for us. At the district office when I was there and we used to talk about relationships and community, we came up with this phrase that says, we are better when we are known and not alone. When we are known and not alone. Being together in a group and knowing one another, we're better in those situations. We need that community. Know your company. Finally, know your plan. We can have all the right equipment. We can have all the right training. We can even know, but if we don't know how to use them, we don't know how we're going to implement that, we're going to find ourselves in the losing end of battle. So what's your plan? A lot of this comes in taking time to assess our life, taking time to evaluate our thoughts and our will and our emotions and our actions in light of the truth of Scripture, deciding in advance how you're going to stand when things come your way, how you're going to stand against those attacks. Deciding in advance, what are your escape routes? You know what your temptations are. You know how Satan uses those. What's your escape route? Know that plan. Memorize Scripture. In Psalms 119, it says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Fill your heart with worship. Fill your heart with things that are good. Paul says in Philippians, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. If we would shift our thoughts from those times we think of things that are not good and we move them to things that are pure and things that are right and things that are good, that's part of that transformation that takes place in the renewing of our minds, as we talked about in Romans 12. John Mark Comer, in his book, Practicing the Way, talks about how we can be with Jesus so we can become like Jesus, so we can do what Jesus did. Be with Jesus. Take time to pray, time to dive into Scripture, time to worship, time to be in solitude. There's lots of disciplines we can go through to be with Jesus so we can become like Jesus, so we can be loving, we can be compassionate, we can be generous, we can care, we can exhibit the fruit of the Spirit so that we can do as Jesus did. We can come alongside others. We can love them well. Can love our neighbors. So we are at war. But we are also on mission. We are on mission. Going back to our main passage, First Peter, looking at verse 12, it says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. The Living Bible puts this verse this way. Be careful how you behave among your unsaved neighbors. For then, even if they are suspicious of you and talk against you, they will end up praising God for your good works when Christ returns. So you like the way that said that. You know, thus far through the day, we've been mostly focused on our lives and our internal battles we face. But this verse turns our direction outward. As we know who we are and how we are to live, we're reminded about our purpose. Our purpose is to live for others, to be a witness to our world, so that other people can truly understand that living hope we sung about earlier that's only found in Jesus Christ. Does that mean you have to have it all figured out? Does that mean you have to have your life in order completely before you do this? No. If that was the qualification, none of us would qualify. God will use you where you are. Be on mission where you are. We've also learned, and I'm sure we've also experienced, that this is not an easy path that we live on as aliens in this world. We'll get falsely accused, just as it said in the Scripture. We'll get misunderstood. People will even talk against us. Verse spells that out. But I want to say this is where character matters. I know there's a push in our society that character might not matter. As long as the outcome is good, I don't agree. I believe character still matters in all aspects of our lives. How we live is important. It's not just about how we even are in public, although that matters how we are in public. It matters how we are in the workplace. It matters how we are at school. But it also matters how we live in our families and even when we're alone. Remember when I talked about the fruit of the Spirit today? That fruit of the Spirit, that becomes like a mirror. If you ever wanted just to get a mirror and say, how am I doing? How am I doing in my relationship with God and my transformation of life and becoming more and more like Jesus? Well, look at the fruit of the Spirit and say, is this in me? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Is that what's coming out of me? That's a good gauge, a mirror. Well, I said we are outward focused and we are on mission. We are the light of the world, the hands and feet of Christ. So our question is, how are you doing with your neighbors? Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Very similar to the verse in 1 Peter we were reading today. We do these good deeds and people see it eventually as part of what brings them to seeing Jesus. Well, as part of this, I'd like to actually, to help illustrate this point, I'd actually like to bring a couple up on stage here. So I'm going to invite Rodney and Roman to come on up here. And Rodney and Roman are a great couple here in our church. I'm not sure if you guys all know them. Let me get a microphone for you. Rodney and Roman, they've been coming to our church for quite a while. But this couple have been living for Jesus, and they are a great encouragement. You guys are a great encouragement to me, but I know you're a great encouragement to many others, not just me. They do a lot of things behind the scenes people never see. I just love this couple so much. So thank you guys for being here. I'm gonna give you a microphone. You can figure out how to pass it back and forth. I'd be careful. I should be careful giving you a microphone, shouldn't I? So. The reason I brought Rodney and Roma up here is because they shared with me a story, a card actually, and it relates to a story. So I wanted to share this with you guys. Rodney and Roma have a neighbor, a couple, and you guys can decide if you want to use a name or not. It's up to you, but okay.
We choose not to.
Okay, that's fine. That's what I kind of figured.
But we will when they come to Christ.
Amen. I love that. So neighbors live beside them that have been kind of antagonistic to God and anything about God. So, and they've been loving on this neighbor, this couple. So tell us a little bit about that. Tell us a little bit about your relationship with them over the last couple years.
No. Actually, we moved into our
home. And hold your microphone closer to your mouth.
We moved into our home in June of 2020. And we started just to converse basically with them. We would hear a lot of arguing, a lot of tempered things over there. And it just so happened that one day we happened to be outside, and the neighbor man came outside, and we engaged him a little bit. And I just looked at my wife, and I saw her look up to heaven, and I was like, oh, boy, here we go. But what she did, we weren't even considered following or living for Christ at this point, but we felt that God was pulling us that way. And so Roma mentioned something to him, and he says, I don't want anything to do with that God stuff. Don't believe it. Don't need it. And Roma's like, bingo. So she just said, well, just remember, God's listening even on your bad days. And that just kind of broke the ice.
Yeah, so how does that set with you guys? Because that can be very discouraging to hear somebody just say, you know, I want nothing to do with your God. So that kind of set in your hearts, but kind of like, motivated you in a different way. So how did that lead you on from there? What was your response to that? Are you answering or is she? So make sure you have the microphone if you're the one answering.
Well, it's funny you say that because I was in that spot where I didn't believe. Hmm. So that touched my heart not to give up.
Amen.
And I wanted him to feel the same thing that I feel.
Amen. Amen. So that continues to drive you forward to like saying, man, I don't want to see him lost. I want to see him experience this great thing in Christ. So you guys have done some practical ways to love your neighbor. So in the last year, you guys have done a couple of very unique things. So tell us a story about that. What happened?
Well, one of the things we did was I'm walking down the driveway one day, and if you understand where we live, the driveways aren't very big, so I don't want you to think any more of this than it really is. But I'm like, Roma, this driveway needs sealed. And I'm like, oh, that one needs it worse than that, and that one needs it a lot more than ours. So I call the sealer guy, and I say, sir, I said, can we set up an appointment? But it's more important to us that you do our neighbor's driveway before you do ours, because they're never going to be able to afford to get it repaved because it looks that bad. And so we were able to bless them, and they sealed their driveway first, then on ours. It wasn't really very expensive, but the point was, hey, let's love them. That needs done. We see something that needs done, so we're just going to go ahead and take care of that. And so we were glad to be able to do that. On another case, one day, Roma and I were out shopping, and what she didn't know that we were at Carnes, and we bought two meat bundles that day. And she said, why was that so expensive? I said, there's a meat bundle for our neighbor. And when we took it over there, the joy in their faces, and the first thing they said is, we're going to share this with people that need it. And we were like, oh, praise the Lord.
Wow, so that's a unique way of loving your neighbor, sealing their driveway, providing food for them, and so forth. So they sent you a letter at the end of last year, right around the holidays or something like that. I would love for you to read that letter, and I want you to hear the shift that's coming in this family's life.
Rod and I were sitting in the living room, and we had this knock on the door, and she handed this letter. Our wonderful neighbors, we know this is coming a little late, but we wanted to reach out to you both to know how wonderful you are. You both have changed our lives in so many ways, more than we can count on or never know how to repay you. We don't have a whole lot.
Clean up, Peter. Count and never know how to repay you. We don't have a lot to give, but we couldn't let your actions or your kindness go unrecognized this holiday season. We can tell you we do believe God is up there watching over us and listening to us, and we believe that it is because of both of you. It's not us, trust me. You both are our saving grace in this big world. We just wanted you both to know we appreciate you, and we were thinking about you over this holiday season. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, God bless, in their names.
What a shift in this couple, thanks to your witness to them. And you continue to engage with this couple. And what drives you to engage with them? Do you have a verse that drives you towards engaging with your neighbors?
Hebrews 13:16, and do not forget the good that we share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased.
Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for sharing. Yeah. Thanks for this story. This is cool. Did you catch what happened there? They started reaching out in love and people who were antagonistic about God, didn't want to hear anything about him, then start saying, we believe there's a God up there watching over us. Okay, this couple has not accepted Christ as their Savior yet. But Matt, wow, what a win in what has shifted in their lives. So Rodney and Roma, thank you so much for being examples of that. I want to remind you that we have this Love Your Neighbor grant. We talk about that a lot. It's not going to seal your neighbor's driveway, okay? It's not quite that much. It's only $50. But feel free to apply for that. We actually want people to use it. We want to give that money out as ways for you to help you engage with your neighbors. That's just a great example of this last verse we were reading through here today. So as aliens, as pilgrims on this journey in this world towards our heavenly home, we must realize the path is not going to be easy. We are different. People will look at us as strangers, just like they kind of looked at Rodney and Roma as being strange in a way that they would put such devotion to a God. We also realize that we are at war against the forces of spiritual forces of evil. And we have this tension and conflict going on in our soul. And if that was where we stopped, we would be like, this is depressing. But remember what we read near the beginning? We are part of a holy nation. We are God's special possession. We are sons and daughters of the King. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us to guide us and to comfort us and to give us the strength to live from day to day. We have direct access to the Father. We are cherished beyond our comprehension. We live in hope of an eternal home. As we bring our time here to a close, here's what I want to do. I want to read over a couple of challenges, a number of them. I just want to read these challenges based on what we talked about today. And I want you just to listen to them. I made them personal so you can, they're going to have an I in each one of them so we can each internalize these. I just want you to read over, I'm just going to read over them first so you can hear them. And then we're going to take a moment and pray. And I want you at that point to really allow the Holy Spirit to let one of these be, let him put the highlighter on one of these or raise it to the top for you. So listen to these challenges. May I truly embrace that in Christ, I am a chosen person, part of a royal priesthood, part of a holy nation, God's special possession. May I grasp that I am an alien in this world and that this world is not my home. May I understand that possessions of this world will never satisfy as compared to the glorious riches that I have in Christ. May I abstain from sinful desires that wage war against my soul. May I acknowledge that I am at war. May I put on the full armor of God so that I can take my stand against the devil's schemes. May I fight the good fight. May I finish the race. May I be transformed by the renewing of my mind. May I be filled with the Spirit, and may the fruit of the Spirit be evidenced in me. May I live on mission in this world. May I love my neighbors well. Will you pray with me? Lord, as we walk through the scripture today, Lord, I don't know what you have for each one of us uniquely. But I pray in this time right here, Lord, as I go back through this list, that Holy Spirit, you would move among us. And if for each person, Lord, you would raise up to the top the one thing that they need to grasp today, that then they would take that into its next steps with you, whatever that might look like. So in this posture of prayer, listen to these again. Just allow the one that jumps out to you just to hang on to that one. You can ignore the rest of them. May I truly embrace that in Christ I am a chosen person, a royal priesthood, part of a holy nation, God's special possession. May I grasp that I'm an alien in this world and this world is not my home. May I understand that the possessions of this world will never satisfy or compare to the glorious riches that I have in Christ. May I abstain from sinful desires that wage war against my soul. May I acknowledge that I am at war. May I put on the full armor of God so I can take my stand against the devil's evil schemes. May I fight the good fight. May I finish the race. May I be transformed by the renewing of my mind. May I be filled with the Spirit, and may the fruit of the Spirit be evidenced in me. May I live on mission in this world. May I love my neighbors well. Holy Spirit, whatever you are placing on people's hearts, would you solidify that today? And would you lead them, I pray, into those next steps? Whatever that looks like. Maybe it's just a time of sitting back and praising you, God, for who you are and what you've done. Maybe it's an intentional time of becoming, of being with you, God, so I can become more like you. Whatever it is. Father, we give you praise for all of our time here today. As we walk out of these doors, may we walk out on mission into our community, into our families, into our lives, outside this building, in a way that brings glory to your name and brings people closer to relationship with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.